Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Well, today in the gospel, we're given from Luke 4 that extraordinary moment when Jesus stood up in his hometown synagogue and declared that he was the fulfillment of the famous Isaiah prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the anointing that would be on the Messiah. Now, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit, which is what really Jesus is ultimately getting to when we talk about the anointing and what Jesus is bringing, because he's the one who is filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the Father's plan. We see the unfolding of what it means that the kingdom, the presence of God, the person of God comes, takes on human flesh. And what he's doing, what he's promising he's bringing, is he's bringing the gift of the Holy Spirit, his anointing that's going to be poured out on all flesh. Remember, we talked many times on the program, Pope Benedict XVI reminded us that really the culmination of Jesus' entire ministry happened on the day of Pentecost when he had destroyed death on the cross. He rose to new life and the new creation began. He ascended to the right hand of the Father in glory. He's fully glorified. And the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit is his glory. And from that place of authority at the right hand of God the Father, he pours out the Holy Spirit and the church is born. So we go back to this passage in Luke 4. It reads like this. Jesus came to Nazareth where he had grown up. And he went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." That's the Jubilee year. All debts are forgiven. So what Jesus now does, he declares it, and then he rolls up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He went on to say to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing," right here. "And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth." So that's the first response that's recorded here in Luke's gospel, is they heard this prophetic word. Jesus said it's fulfilled in his hearing. They don't fully understand, I suppose, what that means, but he's declaring he's the one that this prophetic word of Isaiah was anticipating. So here's the fulfillment of time has come. The fullness of time is here when God has entered into his creation in the person of Jesus and in Mary's son, born of a woman. The fullness of the life of the Holy Spirit is in him. So we actually get a glimpse at the future of what God's plan is for the salvation of the world. What does salvation mean? It means being set free, captive set free, blind seeing. But it means we come into the anointing that Jesus Christ himself has in fullness. He's now united to human flesh, the fullness of the life of the Holy Spirit. And this is the means by which, ultimately, he will bring to life people who are dead spiritually. And that's every human being on the planet that responds to him and receives the gift of salvation. Because all who were made for glory, we've talked about so many times in the program, fell from glory in Adam and Eve and all their descendants and the spiritual life that God had desired for us was replaced, you could say. The power of death, the kingdom of darkness, the power of sin and death laid hold of the human mind and the human heart. So what Jesus is coming to do, friends, is not just to make sure everybody understands the commandments, or that he's going to die on the cross as an act of love and leave it there, but he's dying on the cross as an act of love to make it possible to communicate to human beings what he's saying right here. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. Salvation means, through the grace of God and what we receive in baptism, what salvation means is we come from death to life by virtue of sharing now in Jesus' possession of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us as in a temple. So that's the fundamental reality. They don't quite see it yet, but Jesus is beginning to declare it now that he's about to enter into his ministry, and he's going to communicate the life of the kingdom and the working of the Holy Spirit through him and in him. But at first, people are just amazed. Of course, they're often amazed at what Jesus says. But then Jesus said, they also asked, is not this the son of Joseph? They're kind of saying, they're amazed at what he said, dazzled. But then someone says, no, wait a minute. How could he, Joseph's son, who just lived down the block here in Nazareth, how can he be applying that to his life? Who does he think he is? So that's also present in the human heart. And so he says to them, he's anticipating, he hears him ask the question, surely you will quote me this proverb, physician, cure yourself. Do here in your native place the things we heard were done in Capernaum. So heal yourself. Demonstrate. If you're this person, show us. And they have their doubts for sure. And he said, amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his native place, in his own native place. So those who knew him best, at least a concentric circle apart from his family in Nazareth, can't be. He's Joseph's son. He's one of us. Who does he think he is? That kind of thought that's in the human heart, the doubt, rejection, he experiences it there in that moment. But then he goes on to tell them, indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. And one of them was the woman of Zarephath in the land of Sidon. And the prophet Elijah, in the midst of a famine, worked a miracle so she could receive the food that she needed. She's a Gentile. God, the Father sent him, the Lord sent Elijah to the Gentile world. And then the next example he gives is Elisha, the prophet, who healed, cleansed Naaman, the leper, the Syrian, who was a commander, again, not a Jew. And so Jesus is saying, not only is the Isaiah prophecy fulfilled in him, but the fulfillment will include the grace of the anointing on the Messiah that will go to the Gentile world. So salvation is going to be offered. It's going to extend beyond. So then how do they respond to that? When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were filled with fury. They rose up and drove him out of the town and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built to hurl him down headlong. So how about that? All of that happened in just those moments. The rage, that the privilege that these people felt like they had, it was exclusive contact with God, not dealing with the unclean world. The promises don't go to the unclean world or the Gentiles. They're upset. They don't like him. Plus, they're mad knowing, look, he's from our own neighborhood. He's not who he says he is. Maybe they thought he was just a false teacher. But they took him. They're going to hurl him off. Then it says, but he passed through them in the midst of them, and he went away. So you see right from the beginning, the resistance to the mission of Jesus, to God's plan for salvation, right in the Jews themselves, the people that Jesus grew up with, were rejecting him, rejecting the message. He's turning everything upside down. The heart of this passage is really grasping fully what Jesus is saying. Again, he's telling them that the messianic prophecy, that the coming Messiah would be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would bring about freedom, and in this case, freedom from sin and death. He's going to bring down the kingdom of darkness. He's going to declare the Jubilee year, that all debts released for people who accept, ultimately will come to accept the offer of love that Jesus gave for the salvation of the world on the cross of Calvary. The Catholic Church exists to bring this reality that Jesus is talking about right now alive for everyone who's willing to receive it across the planet, to come to understand that everyone is in need of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Everyone is in need of the gift of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the beginning of the new creation. It's sharing in Jesus's indestructible life, his life that we saw pass from death to life, and in him is the new creation, the new humanity. This is the Jubilee year. It's the resurrection. It's God's eternal plan to set captives free and to come participate in the freedom and the love that's at the heart of the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. And that gift of the Spirit is given to us in baptism. It's there that the rebellion that's in human hearts, the rebellion we see right here, even in God's people, the Jewish people who are attending synagogue, their hearts were exposed. Their pride, their resistance to God's will, their unwillingness to receive it. Everyone stands in need. Every human being on the planet stands in need of the saving act of Jesus' death on the cross that destroys the principalities and powers that are in the world, the kingdom of darkness, the satanic powers that are enslaving human beings in our battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. In baptism, the sin that keeps us enslaved, the original sin that literally put us in a condition of spiritual death, and as Scripture describes, as enemies of God, in baptism, the love of Christ, the power of his precious blood, cleanses us of all sin, purifies us, and makes it possible for us to receive precisely what Jesus is proclaiming here in the synagogue in his hometown, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The church exists, brothers and sisters, to bring this truth to a world desperately in need of it. Every one of us is meant to grow in the Spirit, to come alive in the Spirit, to be baptized in the Spirit, to walk with spiritual gifts in our lives, to let the Holy Spirit reveal to us the love of the Father, to grow in deeper intimacy with God, communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the life of the church with one another as brothers and sisters, giving us a capacity to see our neighbor differently, to love differently, because the anointing is upon us. Paragraph 667 in the Catechism says that Jesus Christ, having entered the sanctuary of heaven once and for all, intercedes constantly for us as the mediator who assures us of the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is the means of salvation. This is the only new life that leads to eternal life, because Jesus is interceding right now at the right hand of the Father in his fullness, and he's pouring out the Holy Spirit, this permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit that the church is the conduit of in the world. Let's accept it and walk in it, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.